is 2020 going to be your best year ever? Last night, we were at the Prankard birthday celebration, and we were all gathered around the room there praying and just laying hands on Bill and Gwen. And Bill got up at the end, and he said something that was really powerful. He said, "This has been the best week of my life." All of his family there and all of us surrounding him. And you think, how could that be the best week of his life? This man has been in a Russian tank, traveling all the way to the Arctic, fell through the ice. God brought him out. I mean, they almost drowned out there. Then they got the tank unstuck, went all the way to the Arctic, preached. He's seen blinded eyes open, people raised from the dead. He's seen God do so many amazing things. But yet, last week was the best week of his life. That's prophetic for you and I, because you have to believe that the best is yet to come. You gotta position your heart to say, you know what? I've been through some good things, but I got some great things on the horizon, and my 2020 is going to be my best year ever. Amen. That's a position that you have to, that's a posture that you have to take in faith, and you got to declare it and decree it over your life, over your family, and say, this will be my best year ever. This is a year of miracles and a year of harvest. It's a supernatural year of the favor of God. Amen. On January the 5th through the 26th, we are asking everybody, the entire church, to set apart 21 days of fasting. Take the first 21 days, and say, I'm going to set apart some time to consecrate my life to the Lord. Because we believe with all of our hearts that we need to set the tone for the year. That it's a year of fasting. It's a year of praying. You know, you look at 2020, and the easy thing would be to say, 2020, God's going to give us 2020 vision. I believe that with all my heart, that we're going to see things we've never seen before. He said, in the last days, I'll pour my spirit out on all flesh. Sons and daughters are going to prophesy, and we're going to see things we've never seen before. I mean, that's an easy one, right? 2020, a year of perfect vision. But I really believe that there's something deep going to happen in the believer. It's not just a year of great vision. It's a year of personal consecration. That we consecrate our lives so that we can have 2020 vision. We want a God-first life. I got to have God first in everything. I can't go through the motions of Christianity. I can't go through the motions of being a pastor. I can't settle for, well, Pastor, you love people, but more than anybody I know, and I do love people. I'm not sick of you yet. I actually like you. I like when you come see me. I love hearing your voices. I love seeing your faces. If I get sick of you, I'll tell you, but I'm not sick of you yet. I love being a pastor, but I'm not settling for, oh, that Pastor Greg, he just loves people. Let me tell you what, I love God. I love the power of the Holy Spirit. I love the release of the fire of God in my belly. I like the power and the passion and the zeal for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Go with me to Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Most of you know the passage, but it'd be good for a little refresher. Luke 4, 1 and 2. Then Jesus, the name that is above every name, Jesus is Lord. He's Lord over every situation and every circumstance. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's important to realize. Jesus, the Son of the living God, came to this earth. Why did the Son of God need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because he took on humanity. You can't do humanity without the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to invade your life. Jesus needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, teaching you and I that we've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not just talking about a prayer language. Everybody in this room should have their prayer language. If you don't, it's your fault. Everybody in here should have their prayer language, but this is more than a prayer language. This is a living 24/7 in the power of the Holy Spirit, living with the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. You want to know if you're filled with the Holy Spirit? Talk about the fruit. Do you have the fruit? Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, patience, long-suffering, gentleness. Is it in your heart? Is it in your life? Do you live every day full of the Holy Spirit? Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan where he was led by the Spirit. Don't think that every time you're going through something, it's because God's mad at you. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will lead you into the wilderness because there's an assignment there. There's something for you to learn, but not only something for you to learn, there's something for everybody around you to learn. While you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil, for God is with you. And surely the goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. And so when I'm going through a storm, it's not because God's mad at me. Sometimes it's because God needs me to reveal his character and his nature to everybody around me. So Jesus is going through and he's led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, tempted for 40 days by the devil. In those days he ate nothing, and afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. He was hungry. Listen, this is Jesus teaching us that he fasted during this 40-day period of temptation in the wilderness. He fasted. You and I need to develop a disciplined lifestyle of fasting. He taught on the subject of fasting. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16, he was talking to his disciples, our followers. Are you a follower? Yeah. Shake your head like a chicken eating corn. I'm a follower. I'm a follower. We are followers. Jesus said, moreover, he said, when you fast. Do you see that? Matthew 6, 16, moreover, when you fast. He didn't say if you fast. He said, when you fast, meaning every believer in this room needs to develop the discipline of fasting. We as disciples of Jesus Christ should fast. And you don't want to go out and do a fast just because I'm calling everybody to a fast. You need to put some disciplined prayer in this. You need to understand. That's why I'm talking about it a week early, so that you can begin to prepare yourself. Because of the corporate anointing that is on this house, you need to participate in it and say, hey, I'm gonna discuss this. I'm going to pray about this. I'm going to consecrate this. I'm going to set this time apart. I've had people in the church that have got with their kids and said, hey, how are we going to fast? Let's talk about it. Some did a week of television, and then they did a week of social media, a week of no video games, and telling the kids, we're going to fast for 1 week. And getting a plan together. It's not just food. I mean, food's a great way for us to do it because it really gets our focus on God and focused on what God's doing in our lives. But you need to set up for yourself. I'm asking everybody to do a 21-day Daniel fast. Well, if you read in Daniel 10 and you look at what Daniel ate, there was no meats, no sweets, and no breads. That's basically the Daniel fast. You can Google it and find out more specifics, but whatever you decide to do with it, do something. Take 21 days and say, I'm gonna set this apart, and we as a family are gonna do this. And I'm saying, just don't go into this. Put some thought into it, some prayer into it, some agreement into it. You need to take the subject seriously and pray about it. Nothing brings encounters with the Holy Spirit more than fasting. I mean, it'll bring you into divine encounters with God. And I'm going to tell you something. I've been preaching it for weeks now, and I'm going to stay right on it. The body of Christ needs to have encounters with the Holy Spirit. You need to have divine encounters where he shows up in your life and changes everything. I wish you could read the text messages and hear the voice conversations as people are calling me and telling me how the Holy Spirit is showing up in random places. While they're shopping and while they're in their cars driving, and all of a sudden they have to pull the car over because it feels like, and they sense that Jesus just stepped into their car. That the Holy Spirit has just stepped in. My 29-year-old son told the story last week about driving to work in the morning and listening to a song on the radio, and God began to tell him that he had faith in his bones. He's 29. He said, Dad, I started shouting in my car, I got faith in my bones. I've got faith in my bones. And I felt like the Holy Spirit got into my car. I had to pull over, and I'm crying my eyes out. I can't get out of the car, and people are pulling in beside of me that I work with, and they're looking at me, and they probably think we're having a marriage fight. But he said, Dad, it was the Holy Spirit. He was in my car. I'm telling you, fasting will bring you into divine encounters where the breath of God, the presence of God. Some of you, like, you got so much stress over your lives right now. You got stuff going on in your marriage, there's stuff going on in your families, with your children, with your health. And you just think you're so tired, you just need to rest, but you're not tired, you're depleted. If you were tired, you could go to sleep and wake up feeling great the next day. It's not tired. It's depleted. You haven't spent enough time in his presence, because Acts 3:19 says there's times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. And if you can have an encounter, a divine encounter with the Holy Spirit, it'll transform everything in your life. Nothing brings encounter like the Holy Spirit. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. Fasting is to be done with a spirit of humility and a joyful attitude. Some of you get so cranky when you fast. You're mad at everybody. What's wrong? I'm fasting. It's like, are you serious? This should be done with joy. This is not dread. I dread it. We're going into another fast. I'm not going to have pop for a week. No soda for a week. For 3 weeks, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? You're not going to die? I know coffee is a bean, and some of you think, well, I can have coffee because that's a bean. Set a fast. Fasting is not to get God to do what we want. We're not trying to manipulate God into doing something by fasting. Fasting changes us, not God. When you fast, you humble yourself. You humble yourself under the hand of God. Psalm 35 and verse 13 says, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. David said, I'm fasting to humble myself. I'm fasting to seek God. In Ezra 8:21, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Avea, that we might humble ourselves before God to seek him the right way for us and our little ones and all of our possessions. Ezra said, I'm calling a fast to humble myself. Fasting enables the Holy Spirit to reveal your true spiritual condition. Some of you think you're all right because you come to church. You come every week and you're here. And you think my spiritual condition is good. I love God. I'm on my way to heaven. Praise God. I'm glad that you are. I'm glad that you're on your way to heaven. But when you begin to fast, it'll result in brokenness. It'll result in repentance. The results of fasting is a transformed life. Fasting is the most powerful and effective spiritual discipline that we have, church. It is the most powerful spiritual discipline that the Christian church has, is fasting. And it's the most neglected of all the spiritual discernment. It's the most neglected discipline. Through fasting and prayer, the Holy Spirit transforms your life. Some of you, like, your mindset is, I'm so thankful we're going on a fast. I've gotten so fat. This is going to be really good. I'm going to lose some weight. Fasting is not a diet. It has great results. Physically, spiritually, mentally, taking a time of fasting and praying. I'm asking everybody to set apart 21 days of your life to fast and to call upon God. We need a commitment to consecration in 2020. We need a commitment to consecration. I believe with all of my heart, it's a great year of change. We're not going to look the same next year. Like, there's going to be some transformations in this house. So there's some prophets and prophetesses that have been in the sleeping mode. You've been in the church. You've been hiding. You've been here. And God's about to just unveil everything that he's doing in your life. I really believe we're going to see some voices cry out. We're going to see some people step out of the shadows. And there's going to be just a real transformation in the hearts and lives of so many people. Great change is coming in 2020. Great change. And it is a year of manifest power. We're going to see the manifest power of the Holy Spirit. This gathering that we're doing at that barn, God's not waiting till the end of January to pour it out. We're entering into a season of great power right now. The fire of God is being released on the earth. And it's great, great, great power being released. So what is consecration? What does consecration look like? Consecration is the action of making something sacred. Making something sacred. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. Therefore, having these promises. What promises? This word of God is full of promises. Having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness or consecration in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness or consecration. Dwight L. Moody said this, the world has yet to see what God will do with a man or a woman fully consecrated to him. The world has yet to see what it would look like to see a person so consecrated to the work of God. A forgiven sinner is quite different from an ordinary sinner. Would you agree? A forgiven sinner is different than an ordinary sinner. When you've asked Jesus to come into your life, a consecrated is quite different from an ordinary Christian. When you've consecrated your life to Christ, when you're evaluating every day of your life, every decision that you make, every word that you speak, and you're evaluating that under the hand of holiness, and said, okay, does this look like sacred? Does this sound like sacred to God's ears? Am I creating an environment that is holy and set apart for God? Consecration is not the act of our feelings, but it's of our will. You make a choice to consecrate your life. God doesn't bless who you pretend to be. He blesses who you are. And we pretend to be all that, but we're not living that way. And God says, this year, it's going to be a shifting. There's going to be a transformation. And who you are professing to be will be who you really are. Deep inside you, bringing everything under God's microscope and saying, God, what's this look like in my life? I think we need some crazy faith in 2020. God isn't committed to your dream. He's committed to his purpose in your life. So often we think, well, I've got this dream, and God's so committed to my dream. Let me tell you what God's committed to, the purpose that he has for you. He has a plan and a purpose for everybody in this room. And it's not to just be getting by and going through the motions and just existing on planet Earth. We are here to dominate the earth. We are here to rule and reign with Christ Jesus. We are here to take our authoritative place in the kingdom of God as sons and daughters and declare God's blessing is invading the earth. While assembling supplies for an African nation of Bafa, the American Red Cross volunteer came across a box with a strange note on it. The note read, "We have recently converted, and because of the conversion, we want to try to help. We won't be needing these again. Can you use them for something?" Inside the box was several Ku Klux Klan sheets that had been used as disguises. The sheets were cut into strips and made into bandages. And those bandages were later used to bind the wounds of Africans who desperately needed assistance. The power of Christ moved those men from being focused on hate to being focused on helping. When this took place, it was a fundamental change that happened. And those men were used to bring help and healing to a nation that needed help. The power of Christ can move anybody from a position of hate to a position of healing. Some of you have been through some things in 2019. Some of you went through divorces. Some of you went through abandonment, and others that you loved abandoned you, and your world is so filled with hate and bitterness. And God says, I'm going to turn that around, and I'm going to use that for my glory. I'm going to make that a part of a testimony. Amen. Jesus desires for all of his people to have a heart change. He wants to move us from where we are right now into a deeper, intimate relationship with him. After the first service, the crowd was packed in here in the first service. And after the service was over, I was making my way back to the office to refresh for a few minutes. And as I was going down the aisle, Miss Lily grabbed me. Lily's 83, 84 years old, just had a major heart bypass. And she's been getting stronger every day. And Miss Lily grabbed me. She kissed me. She said, Pastor, I just want you to know I'm living a consecrated life. And I said, Miss Lily, I believe that about you. I believe you're a consecrated woman of God, that everything you do with holiness in mind. She said, I do, Pastor, but I've got some things in my life that I'm still working on. I said, me too, Miss Lily. Me too, Miss Lily. I'm working on consecration this year. I'm looking at my life and saying, okay, there's been so many amazing things that God's doing and is doing, and I'm so excited about everything God is doing, but I know there's a work that needs to go on inside of me. I got to renew this mind daily. I got to crucify this flesh daily. I got to live under the power of the cross of Jesus. I can't live on what I've done in the past or what's been going on in my life. I got to find myself at the foot of the cross, consecrating every thought to the power of Jesus Christ. God wants to move you into a deeper relationship with him. God wants to move us from being converted to being consecrated. When you got saved, you received sanctification. You got saved. When you got up, you was as clean as you're ever going to be, ever. But some people take that and they say that moment, and they just live in that moment. And I got to get all of us to thinking about, okay, now this becomes a daily walk. I've consecrated. I gave my life to the Lord. I live sanctified. Now becomes this daily walk of sanctifying my life, looking for things that don't line up with who Jesus is, looking for things that don't line up with who he wants me to be. And I begin to evict them things out of my life. Listen, we don't even talk about sanctification anymore. They used to say all the time when I was a kid, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and on my way to heaven. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Now we just saved and we go to church. We still drink everything. We still party. We still in the clubs, but we on our way to heaven because Jesus has forgiven us of our sins. And I'm telling you, God wants to move you out of a lifestyle that the world has made acceptable to a lifestyle of consecration and submitting ourselves under the hand of God. Everything that you do, you don't do this out of legalism. You do this out of a love and an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, where God is in you and full. You're full of the Holy Ghost. What does it mean to be consecrated? It means to be set apart for the service of God, to move something into being sacred or holy. In the Hebrew language, there were some words that described what consecrated looked like. One of them is haram. It means to devote. Another is nazar. It means to separate. A third is kadesh. It means to set apart. And a fourth is miliyada, which means to fill the hand, or used to describe the ordination of priest. He said it's to devote, to separate, to set apart, to fill the hand, to be ordained into ministry. This is what it means to be consecrated to the Lord. It has to do with places. Consecration was places. It was the Holy of Holies. It was people. It was priests and prophets. It was things, the altar of incense, the Ark of the Covenant. It was times, various feasts, special days like Yom Kippur and Passover. These were all consecrated days and times. But you think about that. Places, people, things, and times. In other words, what he's saying is every aspect of our lives has to come under consecration to the Lord, where we are dedicated to the things of God. Your life has purpose. purpose in the kingdom. Your life has purpose in God's plan. A consecrated life is one that seeks to bring honor to the name of Jesus. Miss Gail, if you could come to the keyboard, I would just want to ask everybody, are you identified with Christ? Are you one of His? I wonder if people around you would be shocked to know that you're a Christian. You're a Christian? Oh, I didn't know you was a Christian. Because somehow in the conversation that came up about church, and you say, yeah, I go to church. And they're like, oh, I didn't know you went to church. You know how many Christians live that way? Huh? It's like, well, I don't want to be pushing my faith on anybody. I don't want to be trying to proselyte anybody. Where do you find that in the Word of God? Where do you find that in the Word of God? Where do you find that you can be a secret agent? I'm undercover, Pastor. They don't even know. I'm in here praying. They don't even know I'm praying. I'm praying for them. You ain't get smart. You ain't I spy. You ain't, no, you were called out of the closet. You're a born again child of the Most High God, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And everywhere you go, you live a consecrated life that says, I am a child of the Most High God. And don't use that language around me. Stop telling me them jokes. I don't want to hear that garbage. I'm just telling you, it's time for 2020 to be a year of the voice, standing up and declaring, thus says the Lord. Sanctification is imparted in a moment, but it's experienced over a lifetime. It means sacrificial living. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you imitate Christ? I was a youth pastor for years, so I still am a little bit of a youth pastor. I mean, it's just in my heart. So I don't care how old you are, Miss Dixie, I'm your youth pastor, and I love you. I love you more than pizza. You're the best. Walking with Him daily, consecrating your life to Him. We're in this world. We are not of this world. We've been separated unto the gospel, as Paul said. I'm separated unto the gospel. I'm set apart for His use. You'd be shocked how many people, when they find out I'm a pastor, try to change their language. Oh, pastor, I'm so sorry. I didn't know you was a pastor. Pardon the French. Like, when did cussing become French? Pardon the French. You know, Jesus doesn't step out of your car when you decide to go off. Huh? He doesn't just step out and let you have a little temper tantrum and then come back in when you're all done. Okay, I'm done. Come on back in the car. No. He's right there. He's right there. He's watching everything that we do, everything that we say. You can't cheat on your taxes. Well, if we just hide this or make it look like this. No, just be honest. God will bless you. What a great problem to have. You had to pay more taxes. That means you made more. I'm just saying, it's in every little area of our lives. We can't be like the world, church. We can't live selfish. We can't live greedy. We can't live depressed. We can't live oppressed. Consecrated to the Lord. Consecrated. If you're consecrated to the Lord and willing to consecrate your life to the Lord, would you just stand up on your feet with me? Consecrated to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The reality of life is that in this room right now and watching online all across America are people who don't have a consecrated life to God. You wouldn't be in church today if you didn't love God. I doubt we got any haters that just, I hate God. I'm only here because my mom wanted me to come. No, if you hated God, you probably wouldn't meet her here. You'd probably go to her house after church for dinner. But you're here because you love God. You know what I'm saying? It's like most everybody in this room loves God. But the lie of the enemy is that you can put this off and that someday you're going to get it all together. Someday you're going to get all your ducks in a row, and then everything's going to be good. God doesn't care about your ducks being in a row. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There ain't anybody in this room that fixed their life and came to God. None. There ain't one person in this room fixed their life and said, okay, I'm ready, God, now I give you my life. No, we came in drug addicts, alcoholics, broken, prostitutes. We came in losers, defeated. We came in rich CEOs. We came in business leaders. We came in just as we were, and we said, God, here's my life. It's a mess. I need you. And at that point, God said, I'll take you just the way you are. I'm okay with all the garbage. I'm okay with all that. I'll take you just the way you are. I'm asking in this room right now if there's some just the way you are people here. You don't have to put a front on. Just the way you are. If you were to die today, answer me this. With an honest look in my eyes, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? Without any doubt, do you know for sure you go to heaven? If you can't say, yes, I know for sure that I'm on the way, well, what have you done to make that right? Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, Christ is risen from the dead, and you shall be saved. For years, I'm telling you, literally years, Greg came to church with his wife and did not believe in Jesus. For years. He said, I just don't believe. I don't believe. And every week he would come to be with her, and he stood right by her side. And every week I'd give an altar call, and he never responded. But one day, I can't tell you what happened. I can't tell how it changed. There was one day when Greg said yes to Jesus. And it changed his marriage, his home, and his life. I'm telling you. Am I telling the truth, Greg? I mean, I'm just being real, man, because I just saw your face, and I remember that day in Gulf Coast High School when everything changed. And there's some of you here today. It's like, man, you're not living for God. You can't get sex out of your head. All you think about is sex all day long. You just, it's like you're being tormented. Tormented. Pornography is destroying a nation. Huh? I'm just telling you. And you're trying to fix all that on your own. You say, I'll just stop. I'll just stop. Some of you started off with a drink, and you thought, just a drink isn't going to hurt me. It isn't going to hurt me. And because of your addictive lifestyle, now it's a bottle. Now it's a bottle. And you say, well, what do I need? You just need Jesus. I'm not telling you a drink's going to send you to hell. I'm telling you, you just need to pursue Jesus and let him clean all that up. He'll show you. Been saved for 10 years and you're still cussing? I was with a preacher the other day. It just let out a cuss word right in the middle of, I'm like, oh my Lord. I mean, it's really consecration. Others may, I may not. It's a lifestyle that has to be chosen. Others may, I may not. Is that going to send you to hell? Listen, Jesus' blood is stronger than all that. But there's something to walking with Christ, sanctifying your life, living holy before God, putting a guard on your mouth. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Some of you say freaking all the time, and I'm like, I hate it. But that's freaking this and freaking that. Well, it ain't no different. What you just rewording something that's vain in our culture and trying to reuse another word to take its place. How about we just stop all that garbage and say, listen, let our lips be sanctified to God. Right? Is Jesus Lord of your life? If he's not Lord of your life, just lift your hands to Jesus right now. Come on, just lift them up and say, you know what? He's not really Lord of my life, but he needs to be. I hear your message, preacher, and I need to consecrate my life. And there's hands going up right now. Lift your hands to Jesus if that's you and say, I've got some issues that have to be consecrated and brought under the blood. Amen. Just lift them with me now. Thank you, Lord. Hands all over the room. Father, we lift our hands because you're dealing with us on some areas of our lives that don't look like you. Everybody say, Jesus, I believe in you. I know you died for me. I choose to live for you. Forgive me of all my sin. Come into my life. I give you my life. I will live for you. And I will consecrate my life. I will live holy. I will live with a burning passion for your word. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.